welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Covenant of favour, eh? God just reminded me of that this morning. I think I was probably thinking about moving house. And God reminded me of that picture. I saw it out my office window. As I say, very strange. Don't go looking for words in clouds. It won't happen. It's just one of those things, you know? If you start looking for things like that, you'll get into weird and wonderful and stuff that ultimately drags you away from God. But the weird and wonderful happens when you're not looking for it. I wasn't looking for a message in the clouds. I just remember thinking, that is really odd to see a cloud vertical. And obviously it was one of the stems of the letters. It even had the little, I can't remember, jot or tittle thingies that go over Hebrew letters. Most bizarre. And it was quite bizarre just finding the word, because obviously looking up a Hebrew word is not the most easy thing to do anyway. Hallelujah. A covenant of favour, a covenant of grace. Hey, that's what we've got. That's why it's welcome home. Wherever we are, wherever we're from, welcome. I want to just talk, not long today, because it's the summer holidays and we take things easy through the summer. Well, we try to. Apart from moving house, as in my and Kate's case, that's not taking it easy really, is it? Never mind, last summer we had a great break. Oh no, we were doing up the summer. Hallelujah. If you're around on Tuesday, we'd love some help. We moved out last Tuesday and we were exhausted by the end of the day. But if you're around, just come and chat. We'd particularly like some help getting our stuff from Brian and Shona's house to the, because we didn't know when we moved out how long we were going to be with Brian and Shona, and it could be sort of 2 or 3 months. It's turned out to be 6 days, but it could have been 2 or 3 months. So we took enough stuff, including printers and scanners and Hoovers and a toolbox. I think Brian and Shona thought, what kind of house guests have we got here when we turned up with a Hoover and a toolbox? Although maybe when Shona saw the toolbox, she got momentarily excited. Yes, but so far she's been disappointed. Hallelujah. It's been great living with Brian and Shona this week. It's just nice to be together as friends, but it's gone so quick, isn't it? We managed to squeeze in a meal out together. I had a Greek mezze evening, and that was really, really nice just to be together. But wow, it's gone tomorrow. We complete tomorrow afternoon, so hallelujah. Looking forward to being in our new place. But I want to talk to you about a woman that knew this covenant of favour. I don't think she'd have said anything, but had expressed that in words. But she's one of my great heroes in the Bible, actually. I think she really is one of the great heroes of the Bible. And I talk about her quite a lot. And I love the fact that she's a woman. Because biblical times, of course, men and women weren't regarded as equals. And it's a sign, really, you really begin to get some of the evidence that this book is divine when women are given such important roles. Because women weren't given important roles in those days. It was unusual. And yet here we have a woman who actually leads the way. That's what we're going to look at this morning, because I want us to be people that lead the way to Jesus. Lead the way to accessing that favour. Leading the way to accessing that grace. Because that's what's upon us. And it starts with the people that don't judge. That don't look at others and think, I'm a little bit better than they are. In fact, the more you know Jesus, the more you'll come to respect anyone else as being better, really, than you are. Because with the revelation you have of how wonderful Jesus is, the more you realise how wonderful you're not. Except for the fact that God then takes you and places you in a place called wonderful, which is heaven. We're seated in heavenly places, the Bible says. So on one level, we're worms. And on the other, we're well holy dudes. We're sat in holiness. And the answer is, how can you be both at once? Well, it's our natural self that's corrupted. And it's what God has paid for us and done to us that enables us to live as God originally wanted everyone to live. You know? And this woman, somehow, we don't really know how, got a grasp of that. Because she did something unique in the Bible that nobody else had ever done. And I've talked about her a lot, and I'll talk about her a lot again. Because she is just one of our heroes. And what happened was, the crowds were all gathered around Jesus. And this woman, she was not only a woman, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, that you could take offense of that, but she was not only a woman in her culture, But she was an unclean woman. Because of the illness that she had and what she was suffering from, she was an outcast. She had to stay away from people. And even being around others put her at great risk, even of death, because of what was wrong with her. Because she was unclean, and she would, like, it was considered she would make others unclean. She couldn't touch people, and she certainly shouldn't touch holy people, rabbis, leaders. But something in this woman, she knew she could. She knew she could touch Jesus. Now, in those days, and they still do actually, the Jewish rabbis, Jewish teachers would wear, it comes from the Old Testament when they wore long robes, and on the robes were four tassels at the bottom, as they're instructed do, to wear. But by Jesus' time and now, it's more of a covering, a shawl, which they put over their heads when they're praying. And still there are tassels on it. And the tassels that were originally on there were to symbolize the first five books, the Pentateuch, as it's called, of the Bible. The Jewish holy books, the first five. And so they were the books of the law, the books of God's word. And this woman knew that those tassels represented the word. And something in her must have known that Jesus was the word. Because otherwise she wouldn't have done what she did. And she was unique because nobody had ever done it before. I mean, that sometimes we lose that because you know the story so well. And many of you out there already, you know, you're second guessing. You know what story I'm talking about because you've heard of it so many times. Even though I've tried to come in from a slightly oblique angle. Yeah, I know that story. Yeah. It's a good story, yeah. But she did something unique. She did something that nobody else had ever done. And I'll tell you something else. She did it before the disciples really believed. If you don't believe that yourself, we'll have a look as we go on a little bit and we'll just open up what was going on at this time. But the disciples at this time had never done anything like this. Nobody had done anything like this. In fact, the disciples, generally speaking, weren't expecting miracles in any way, as we shall see in a minute. But this woman knew, I can just touch, it depends on your translation, as they translated it into English, it might say the hem of his garment, or it might say the tassels, or it might say the edge of his cloak, or something like that. It's all the same thing, it's those bits on the rabbi's covering. It's the covering that they would put over their heads to pray. You remember when Jesus talked about going into the secret place to pray? Many people believe he was referring to the covering of the shawl. In other words, just you and God. A prayer shawl is what it's commonly called. But anyway, she was going to touch just one of these tassels. She must have known, I think, there's a passage in Ezekiel that says, what does it actually say? Oh, I should have written it down, shouldn't I? The Son of God has risen with healing in his wings. It's not the Son of God. The Son has risen with healing in his wings. Yes? You know that expression? That's S-U-N, Son. But obviously, there's great parallels. The Son has risen with healing in his wings. The word for wings can be the word for tassels, can be the word for border, can be the word for hem. Ah! So she knew the hem, the tassels, the wings, there was healing there. It was in the word. It was the word. If she could just touch, if she could just access, if she could just take hold of the word, she would be clean. She would be healed. That's all she needed to do. But nobody had ever done that. We don't know what was going through this woman's mind. I don't think, I really, really don't, that this woman was sort of just boldly striding on in. Oh, I'm here now. I'm just going to touch the tassel of Jesus' garment. I'm going to be in the Gospels. I'm going to be an example to everyone. Except she spoke with a high voice because she was a lady. But I don't think that's what was going on, do you? I think that we can probably be in agreement on that one. I think she was probably, and this is conjecture, it's not gospel, but let's just think she was a human being, she was a woman and she was an outcast. I think she was full of fear and doubt. She knew at any moment if she got discovered, she was for it. She knew that after touching Jesus, if she got discovered touching this holy guy, because there was a lot of respect for Jesus, don't just think it was all negative, it wasn't. They thought he was a great teacher. There was a lot of respect going on and people following. If this woman should pollute him, it might stop all the miracles. Because that's what she was going to do. She was going to pollute him. She was going to make him unclean, according to the way they thought. Jesus works the opposite way around. By touching Jesus, you don't make him unclean, he makes you clean. And sometimes people think that faith is this sort of Superman-like aspect where you stride into anything that you're doing and you fear nothing because everything is going to work out. Well, it's never been like that for me. Taking on this place, I knew it was God, but there was still fear and trepidation. When I look at the budget, there's still fear and trepidation. It's like, how the heck is that going to happen, Lord? Well, it's over to you. I take hold of him and say, well, thank you for the miracle, Lord. Thank you for the August miracle. Then it'll be thank you for the September miracle. But something about her made her press through despite the way she felt. And that was similar, perhaps. It wasn't in front of everybody, so it was easier if you were one of the people that raised their hands earlier to say, yeah, I'm going to believe this week, I'm going to come into the favor of God. What's raising a hand got to do with anything? It was an action that said, I'm going to trust God rather than the way I feel. And so often we confuse faith and feelings. It's not what we feel. It's what we decide. It's what we choose. It's what we believe. And we can tell what we believe by the actions that we take. And that was a very silly one. But it was also deep and profound if you did it. And there's no condemnation if you didn't. But you won't experience the same favor this week if you didn't. Because you didn't exercise faith. And God's promises are all received by faith. It's like you can only enjoy a bottle of Dandelion and Burdock from our cafe if you take the top off the bottle and drink it. Many of you are thinking, no, I wouldn't enjoy it if I did that. But some of us have got unusual tastes. It's the best Dandelion and Burdock ever, I'm telling you. Anyway, but you can only enjoy that Dandelion and Burdock if you take the top off and drink it. You can only experience the favor of God if you take the top off and drink the favor of God. You have to do something. You can't sit around saying, I never get to taste the Dandelion and Burdock. God lets Pastor Paul have Dandelion and Burdock, but I never get any. Why don't I get the Dandelion and Burdock that he gets? Well, Pastor Paul gets the Dandelion and Burdock because he pays £1.40 for it and takes the bottle and takes the top off and goes glug, glug. If you want to walk in the favor of God, you have to pay the price of saying yes to Jesus, pay the cost of walking Jesus, and make the choice to take hold of the favor and the glory of God and live in it. So don't sit around moaning that you haven't got it if you're doing nothing, because that's why you haven't. Do something. Hallelujah. We're going to get a big tick on the wall up there. Just do it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Catch up. Anyway, this wonderful woman, she reaches out. She touches Jesus. We know she's full of fear because it actually does say, it says here, she fell on her knees afraid that he would be displeased. So there's definitely none of the superwoman hero in her. She's not spinning around in red and blue, getting her healing. She's in fear. She's afraid. And yet she's done something that unique that nobody has ever done before that's going to change the world. And that's what faith is. It's doing things despite the fear, despite the, oh my goodness. It's just doing it. And that's the way you change the world. This church is called to change the world. You know, it's called to change Scarborough, yeah, but it's called to change the world. How do you do it? Scared. That's how you do it. You're probably thinking of, well, brother, perfect love casts out fear. It sure does. And that's when I have to cling to Jesus. Yeah? To go on the adventure. Right. So, Jesus was not angry. He was not upset that this woman had broken all the cultural rules of the day. He says, "My daughter, you were healed because you showed such faith. You can go in peace and remain free, for your days of suffering are over." Right, let's jump forward a few days or so through the Gospel of Mark. And let's jump in just before something else happened. And here's another story that so many people know about. How many times did this happen? We're not quite sure. Jesus is praying. He's not with his disciples. I'm at the end of chapter 6. And the disciples are crossing the lake by boat. And it says that they were struggling against a strong headwind. Now, don't forget the disciples, most of them, were fishermen on this lake. So they knew the lake. So it wasn't, you know, that they were landlubbers getting themselves in a bit of a tiz. If there was trouble, it was dangerous. And so what happens is that Jesus begins to walk across the lake in their direction. Interestingly, these great apostles, the disciples, their reaction is, thinking this must be a ghost, they cried out in fear. A ghost? What kind of thinking was going on there? These are the heroes of faith. And they think Jesus is a ghost. To me, this is immensely reassuring that we can have some really weird thinking at times and yet God can still use us. Anyway, they think Jesus is a ghost at first. And so Jesus calls out to them, because not many ghosts talk. "Have courage, all of you. It is I. Don't be afraid." And he climbs into the boat with them. And the wind dies down. It's just one odd thing. Before he does that, it says he was going to walk past them. You see, when you need Jesus, he's always there. But you have to call on him. You're not babies. Although they're pretty good at calling for parents. But what Jesus wants is people that take responsibility for who they are, even in the decision to call out to Jesus. So whenever you're in trouble, it's no good blaming God, and a lot of people do blame God, if you've never actually said, "God help." But one thing's sure, whatever you're going through, when you say, "God help," Jesus gets in your boat. So that you can get to the other side. It says here that disciples were awestruck because the wind had died down. You know, they still haven't got the idea that this is the Son of God. They haven't realized that those tassels are the word of God that's going to bring healing. They haven't realized that the one who's with them is God. They haven't realized that the power and the mighty and the glory and the holiness of God is there with them. Because if they did, they wouldn't have been astonished. Would they? If this is God, he can do stuff like that. And it says they failed to understand, because a story we've skipped through, they'd failed to understand from the multiplication of the loaves that they were now experiencing the miraculous. And this is what God wants us to move into. But it comes from people who, through fear and trepidation, through fear of embarrassment mostly, are willing to step through embarrassment and rejection from others to access miracles. Because if you want to see people healed, you have to pray for them. So the fear of embarrassment comes saying, "I'll look an idiot if they aren't." Sometimes we dress up the fear of embarrassment and say, "I don't want God to look silly." What you're really saying is, "I don't want to look silly. God can handle it. He's very capable of handling that kind of stuff." But and I'm not ridiculing it, because, hey, I'm there too. You know? But to see somebody healed, you have to pray. You have to take hold of the tassel. You have to take action. Faith is taking action. Faith is doing something. Faith says, "I'm going to give this to God, even though I can't afford it." I'm not just talking money. I'm talking time. I'm talking life. Richard and Rob have just done, or just completing, just coming to an end of a year of internship. They decided to give a year of their life completely over to him. I don't know how I'm going to do that, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to afford it. I don't know how I'm going to live through it, but I'm going to do it. Yet they had to take a step. And faith is always like that. It's grabbing hold of the word, which the tassel represents. Anyway, you're still with me? Because I want you to see what this woman did. This hero, whose name we don't even know. We don't even know if she's in the book again, because we don't know her name from that. Was she one of the people there on the day of Pentecost that got filled with the Spirit? We don't know. I kind of think she was, but we don't know. Was she one of the ones that met with the early church when the church was first expanding? We don't know. She's just one of the unsung heroes. Having crossed the lake, this is the disciples, they landed at Gennesaret, where they anchored the boat. No sooner than they landed, the people recognized Jesus. This is, I'd like you to take away from today, this little bit of passage from here on, and pray it for this town. Pray it for us, that people recognize Jesus. Because it then says they ran throughout the area with the news. It's time for that. Come and see. We're the group that runs throughout the area as well, but it's going to be just people running to come and see Jesus. We can't do that. We're going to have to take hold of a tassel that says, Jesus, you need to do this, because I can't see how people could look at me and see Jesus. But that's all right. He can handle that. And it then says, so people... Now remember, God gave us this place as a beachhead. Do you remember? Scarborough's the beachhead for the work to be established for what he wants to do. So people came from the entire region. Ah, you see, now a few are acting by faith there. A few are saying, yes, that's us, that's us, that's us. Let's trade that one again, and then you can believe that too. So people came from the entire region. What did you imagine when I said the word region? Yorkshire maybe? England maybe? How about Europe? Take hold of it. The world. So people came from the entire region. Our region... This is the beachhead. Our region is Yorkshire, Britain, and beyond. People came. It's already happening. People come from around Europe to this. The beginnings of the word is there. So let's take hold of the tassel. Let's keep praying this. I'm not saying we pray this because... Yeah, I am saying pray it because we want a big church. I want a big church because I want people to be saved. And the more of us there are, the more we can help others. The more we can do in changing and helping a community, and the more others we can see saved. So, yes. I was going to say, well, it's not. I nearly said it's not because I want a big church. Of course we want a big church. Of course we do. There's challenges with being a big church. Oh, well, I did better when it was small. I knew everybody. Well, you're not going to know everybody in heaven. Although you've got eternity to get to know them, I suppose. Anyway... So people came from the entire region, bringing the sick with them on mats to whatever village, town, or country area where Jesus happened to be. So it's not just being here, it's being out there. They would place the sick on the in the marketplaces, and this is the bit. They would place the sick in the marketplaces, desperate that they should be able to touch just the edge of his clothing. Where did they get it from? That one woman who was an outcast, who wasn't acceptable, that shouldn't have been where she was, but said, I'm going to push through the crowd. I don't care what others think. And I'm going to take hold of the word of God, and he's going to make me clean. And because she did that, people came from regions across because they wanted to touch Jesus too. So when you take hold of Jesus, when you do a little bit of an adventure, when you get a little bit excited, when you get a bit passionate about who he is and what he's done for you, when you demonstrate a bit of the faith that he has in you and that you have in him, others are going to copy. Yes. Thank you, Ron, for standing. You will see more people saved because you stood. Because you stood because you believed. It's a little bit odd, isn't it? But that's the way it seems to work. The woman with the original woman, if she'd sat at home saying, the great prophet is out there. Now, by in the spirit, I take hold of one of his tassels. He's only 3 miles away, but by touching that tassel, I will be healed right now. She did it. Now, don't get me wrong here. She could have done that by faith and still be healed. But most people do that because they don't want to exercise faith. They want to keep it hidden. They want to let nobody else know. And they don't want to be ashamed if their prayer doesn't get answered. There's no shame in prayers not being answered. You're just doing the adventure. The more prayers you have unanswered, the more prayers you've got answered. You won't ever see prayers answered if you haven't got a list of prayers that you haven't seen the answers to yet. The only way to have a success record of not having any prayers answered, not seeing unanswered prayer, is not to pray in the first place. You can have a 100% success rate if you never pray. But I really don't think that's the solution. I love this. They would place a sick in the marketplaces, desperate that they should be able to touch just the edge of his clothing, and all who touched him were healed. That's multitudes coming from regions. Jesus never taught, touch the hem of my garment. I'm sure one of the gospel writers or St. Paul or somebody would have stuck it on in there. They just copied the faith of one unclean outcast. The lowest of the low. The person that shouldn't have been there. But by faith, she pushed through. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what my background is. You might be the Archdeacon of Canterbury or whatever, if there is such a thing. You might be the Archbishop of York. You might be the Pope. Francis. But it's not who you are, it's who he is. But we think we're so important. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about Jesus. And actually, it's so freeing when you realize it's all about Jesus because you don't have to worry about you. You really can't stop God. We aren't yet in the position that people are coming from all the regions and everyone that comes touches Jesus and gets healed. But I'm not resting till we are. Yes. If we're learning to ride a bike, we still fall off quite often. But we're getting better. Some of us have got training wheels. Stabilizers, to be more English. Some of us have got one of those walking bikes. And maybe some of us have got a racer. Or even a mountain bike for the real difficult climbs. But all of us fall off sometimes. We all make mistakes. But one thing's sure, if you do it, you get better. If you don't do it, you just get lazy and fat. Now, I'm nearly at the end. Are you all right? All right then. And remember, when it says all that touched him were healed, what's the Greek word for healed? Sozo, yes. And sozo doesn't just mean band-aid. It means completely healed. Your body restored, your mind restored, and salvation. The same word is used when it talks about people being saved. Sozo. That's not this morning's teaching, though. I tell you what, is an the word that's used in Greek, to give you a little bit of Greek, you can have the word hapto. Hapto. Say, turn to your neighbour and say, hapto. Hapto. It means not just to touch. It's a bit of a mistranslation in that sense, really. It means to fasten hold of. And interestingly, the same word is used to kindle a fire. In other words, if you touch, fasten on to the word, Jesus, as well as the word, the written word, it's going to set a fire in you. It's good enough. I like that. You can have that one for free. Now, this is just where we're going to finish. I've mentioned this in an evening before. I've mentioned it a couple of other times before. I mentioned it at Faith Camp. It's really, really important that we get this next part because of what God is doing. Mark then goes on in chapter 7 to talk about, in one sense, a completely unrelated incident. But it isn't. It's unrelated in terms of a timeline. But in terms of Mark teaching, it's incredibly relevant. So he jumps to another occasion after the healing at Gennesaret and people coming throughout the region. And in chapter 7, it just starts off with some Pharisees and teachers of the law came from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. Now, the context of what we've just seen is an entire region responding to God. What do the people who are God's representatives, because that's who they are, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, it's very easy to think of them as sort of evil and wicked and bad. And Jesus certainly criticized many of them at many times. But they, in many respects, often represent us as Christians. Because we are the modern day equivalent of the people of God that have a responsibility to make Jesus known. They had a responsibility to make God known. That mantle has now passed to us. Oh. So when you read about the Pharisees, you have to check yourself and say, am I like the Pharisees? We like to think they're baddies. It's not as simple as that. They're there to warn us, to not get like them because of having a religion. Because that's what we have. We have a way of life. That's what religion is. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law came from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. And in the midst of all these miracles, in the midst of Jesus being made known, they noticed that some of the disciples ate food without washing their hands in the ritual way, so they were considered unclean. What's the significance for us? We will notice things in each other and in the lives of others that are unclean. But if you focus on them in the midst of everything God is doing, it's not saying that we don't need to get it right, we do. But if we focus on them, you will lose everything that God is doing because it will just pass you by. Ultimately, these Pharisees and these teachers of the law missed the significance of the cross because they focused on having clean hands. It wasn't a thing about washing your hands before dinner for hygiene reasons. They're talking about a religious cleansing because they've been amongst Gentiles. So you washed your hands to wash yourself of where you'd been and what you'd done so that you could be clean. It was a significant ritual. It was a demonstration that we need to be clean before God. It wasn't that they were doing something particularly wrong. What was wrong was they were missing what God was doing because they'd focused on a little bit of their culture. You say, well, I don't think that would happen to me. Really? Have you ever complained that the music's too loud? Have you ever thought it's too hot in here or too cold in here or the air conditioning is too noisy? Or they don't serve the drink that I like in the cafe, or the children were too noisy, then you're a Pharisee. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying how easy and shocking it suddenly is when you realize I'm missing what God's doing. It's easy to look at the Pharisees and just think, yeah, they're the bad guys. No, they're there to warn us so that we don't miss what God has for us. And so that we don't fall into their trap of judging others because we think we're a little bit better than they are. Oh, they left halfway through the service. That's a strange way to dress. I wish they had more lights in the worship hall. I wish they didn't have the swingy-wingy lights. It's the technical term. We should do communion more often. How was communion instigated? Over a meal. Where's the unreligious place to have communion? In your home. There's not supposed to be a special priest that does it and says the words. That's why we don't celebrate it very often. We are correcting something that's gone wrong. Communion is also for saints, for people who are saved. So its very nature is exclusive. So it's better in your home when you're with people who you know Jesus, rather than in a... It's not that we never do it corporately, but whenever you do it corporately, you need to say to people, sorry, you can't do this. That's why we don't do it that often. That's maybe not what you would like, but that's how we're doing it for now. The Pharisees reckon there should be hand washing. To them, that was more important, probably, than you think communion is. How can you possibly go around saying you're a rabbi and a priest when you don't do one of the basic requirements? They were missing what God was actually doing because of the small things. It wasn't that the small things weren't important, but it wasn't supposed to be the focus. It's gone very, very quiet in here. It should be explained that the Pharisees and the other Jews washed their hands in a ceremonial way before they ate, as this is the tradition of the elders. When they came in from work or even shopping, they never eat unless they wash first. In fact, they keep many such traditions, including the washing of cups, jugs, and kettles. See, Mark kindly explains it to all us non-Jews, what's going on here. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law told Jesus, your disciples should live by the traditions of the elders instead of eating with unclean hands. Why don't they? And Jesus replied, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites when he wrote, these people honor me with what they say, but there is no honor for me in their hearts. So their worship is futile and their teachings only a load of rules made up by men. That's pretty heavy. He's saying you've so got focused on not the big picture that you're missing the plot entirely. You're hypocrites. The word means play actors. You're just acting out being followers of God because you're not followers of me, because you're focusing on little bits and pieces rather than seeing what I'm doing. This is to all of us. It's to me too. It's very easy to get focused on some bits. And then he goes on. And we're not going to teach about that today. But basically he goes on to say, it's not what's happening to the outside that makes a man unclean. It's what's already on the inside. You see, when we get angry, it's not somebody who's made us angry. It's a blessing that's revealed what's in us. It's not nice to think about it that way because that means we're responsible. But that's the point. You know, when we sulk, not that we ever would because we're holy dudes. When we sulk, I used to sulk terribly. Didn't I, darling? I'm better now by the grace of God. It's quite rare now, I hope it is. But anyway, when we sulk, it's not because we've been untreated unfairly, it's because of what's in us. And what has happened has been a blessing to reveal what's in us so we can deal with it. Whenever we feel negative, it's a blessing what has happened because it's revealing something that's within us that will get in the way of what God is doing in our life. You know, if you've got an anger issue, it needs dealing with. So praise God for the times that something happened that made you angry, but it wasn't the something that happened that made you angry, it was already there in you. And God is letting you see it, so you can say, I'm sorry God, this is totally my responsibility. I made the decision to get angry. You did. You might have felt like you didn't, but you did. It might have become such a pattern in your life that it doesn't feel like a decision anymore, but you have the power to make decisions because you are a Christian. Yeah. Christ has given you freedom. And you can walk in that again, but you have to acknowledge that anger is your problem, not your kids or your wife's or your friends. It's your problem. They might have done something really bad, but it's still your problem. Well, we went from favour to a little bit... Are you still feeling blessed though?
Yes.
You still... All I'm doing in what I'm saying in the second half is helping us to walk in the favour. We want that favour, don't we? And we want to see others come to know Jesus in the same way we do.
Amen.
And revival, to use a word that we're not supposed to use because everybody's corrupted it, but revival is when people walk in holiness. But they don't walk in holiness because they've got this long list of pharisaical rules. They walk in holiness because the love of Jesus has changed their heart. No, they don't work with a lot of thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not watch this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not say that. That's going to lead you down a... The law's good, it shows us what's right and what's wrong. The law is not bad, you know, it's not some big baddie. God gave it to us to show. But really the only way we can walk as God wants us to walk is by being in love with Jesus. And there are things in us that spoil that walk. So they get revealed, especially in times of revival. And that's what God's doing. He's cleansing us. But not in a way, hopefully, that's left you feeling, but in a way that's left you feeling, yeah, I can see. Yeah, God's taking me through this. Wow. Yeah. So that time, I got really angry, was not because they said that, but because of something that's in me that reacted to that. So if I dealt with that, or allow God to deal with that by asking for forgiveness, if that happens again, I won't get angry. Ah. Anyway, let's stand, shall we? We're going to come to an end. Hallelujah. So in the favour is healing. So before we go today, if you're needing healing this morning, I want you to just bask in the favour, which is God's grace, which means healing to you, sozo. And right where you are, right now, the Holy Spirit will minister to you. If you're in pain, I thank you, God, that right now that pain begins to diminish and go. It has no place in your body. Most of us here get sick at times. There's nothing wrong in that. But we look to our healer. If you're healthy at the moment, thank God that you're walking in health. And expect to continue to walk into health. We walk in favour. Sickness is not in favour. Those of you in pain, let that pain just diminish right now. Go down to 50% of what it was just now. If you've got stiffness of joints, just move those joints. And let God's spiritual healing oil soften those joints and make them work again. If your back gives you trouble, just let healing come in your back right now. You might want to put a hand on your back. You'll feel heat coming from your hand as you do it, because God will release healing, because He is healing. He is our healer. If someone in your family is sick right now, stand in the gap for them. Be like a hose pipe funneling healing from God to them. Just in the spirit, see it sprinkling out over them. It's all Him, not you. Except that you choose. to push through and take hold of the tassel. Thank you, Father. There's someone here that gets a lot of pain in their right foot, I believe. It's under the foot where you get a lot of the pain, and it's not always there, but sometimes you really have to kind of walk through it. The Lord is healing your right foot right now so that that doesn't happen. Don't know what the issue is, don't need to know what the issue is. The Lord is taking away the inflammation. He's renewing. I don't know what it is. If I could show Nigel the picture in my mind, he could probably describe every bit of it. But it's like a stringy bit attached to a bony bit. It's being repaired. Guess it's a ligament or a tendon or something, but oh Lord, make me look a little bit better, please. Somebody else who you get pain right in the centre of your chest. It's not heart pain, but you get a lot of pain in the centre of the chest. It's to do with acid reflux, whatever it is, acid in your stomach, but there's a medical condition wrapped around it that means you have to take a lot of stuff to neutralize the acid. And the Lord's going to give you a permanent correction to that right now. Hallelujah, that the acid reflux condition is just cured in Jesus' name. If that is you, put your hand on your chest and just receive that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that healing happening right now. Thank you, Lord. And finally, it's not that you can't be healed of anything else. You can. You just need to, you know, touch a tassel this morning. But a healing of migraines. But this particular migraine always starts on the right-hand side of your head and then moves over to the left-hand side until the pain is awful. You may even have a slight one at the moment on the right side, and you're slightly wary of the fact that this could develop throughout the day into a migraine again. If you suffer from migraines in any way, just put your hand on your head right now. And Father, we thank you for whatever it is that causes that in these minds does not come from you. And in sozo is complete healing. And we just pray right now for brains and whatever else is going on there to be corrected in Jesus' name, to be healed in Jesus' name. That the swelling won't occur, the pain won't occur. The brain connections will work correctly. If there's anything physical elsewhere that's causing those migraines, Father, we thank you for them being healed right now in Jesus' name. Whatever it takes, Lord, in those heads, in those bodies, we say, pain, you do not belong here. Be removed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if anybody's doing that, you're going to feel lightheaded right now. Hallelujah. Do feel free to sit down if you're feeling a little bit woozy. Those people we just prayed for. It's the healing just taking place. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if there's anybody else that wants somebody to pray with them for something, do come forward. Come forward and tell us as well. Anybody along the front here, if you've been here this morning, it's always great to have stories of what Jesus has done. And very finally, just as we finish, if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never said, yes, I want to be your follower, I want to be a Christian, and you want to begin that adventure this morning by making the choice to follow him, come and talk to me or talk to Chris here on the end, or Ron or Deborah. Come and have a chat, or Brian and Shona here, to say, I want to say yes to Jesus. What do I need to do? What's going to happen? And they'll help you begin. But it is your choice. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.